This is John Floridus. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. On today's program, a visit with saxophonist and composer Lauren Stillman. But first off, we welcome Rodrigo y Gabriela. This is John Floridus. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be speaking by phone with Gabriela Quintero of Rodrigo y Gabriela. Welcome. It's excellent to have you on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Music will be very familiar to a number of our listeners. I'm trying to remember how many albums you all have released. I know the most recent, which is just this past spring, 2019, Metavolution is the most recent album. But you've put out, was it like 10 albums or something over the last decade or so?
Yeah.
And just in case folks are not familiar with your music, Rodrigo Sanchez and Gabriela Quintero make up Rodrigo y Gabriela. RodGab.com, RodGab.com. That's the name of the website. That's where you can go to find out anything you'd want to know about the group. And as I said, Metavolution is the most recent recording. Gabriela, tell me a little bit about your immersion into the world of guitar. And you have such a distinct style with Rodrigo. the combination of jazz and flamenco, of course, is very, very prevalent. And also heavy metal is very, very prevalent in your influences. Talk to me about just how the guitar came into your life and how that journey kind of started for you.
Well, it was when I was very young, and I was lucky enough to were born into a family that it was a music lover family, and my mom had a great collection of different music, and from jazz to classical music to Beatles and Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin and all of that. And to me, I always was attracted to music, and guitar was very special because for me it was the instrument that you can access more easily than a piano or a trumpet. So at that time, to me, was guitar also has the symbol of you can, there's a lot of different styles of music that have been playing of guitar, you know, like blues, jazz. If you are a singer-songwriter, you do your chords with a guitar. And also classical guitar, country music. So it's just such an instrument, a universal instrument. So I wanted to play it. I was attracted to blues players, and then I discovered metal. Also, I get feedback, guitar, riffs, all of them. And so just that attraction on the universal instrument that is guitar. And also, you can learn to play it, and you can get a cheap one. You don't need to spend a lot of money getting one guitar. So that's, for many reasons, I was attracted to it. And then I met Rodrigo, also was attracted to guitar, especially metal music. So we were playing in this band, which played metal music, like completely thrash metal, music influenced by Metallica, Slayer, Destiny, Megadeth, Pantera. You know, so we wanted to sound like those bands, but we lived in Mexico City, and it was difficult to kind of be famous doing that. And besides, we were not very good. You know, so that's the truth. So when we decided to just quit the band, but not quit music, and that's what we did. And our story is very, very long. We just decided to travel the world playing guitar. What we did.
Thank you.
Gabriella, a lot of listeners will be familiar with this story, but some listeners may not, and that being the concept that for your music to really take off, the two of you ended up in Ireland and busking on the streets and playing along the streets and stuff.
Yes.
Talk to me about that a little bit. That's a great story.
Well, it was when we quit the band, we would also leave Mexico City. At that moment, we kind of reset our own definition of success. So we said, okay, success for us now is to keep learning music and keep playing and just to work on music, nothing else. So we went there because we knew their hotels, so it was in our head we can play in those lobby hotels and just save some money and go to Europe. And go to Europe and get to know the whole world, but starting in Europe. So we did that. We were playing for 9 months in the beach in Mexico, and we saved the money, and we bought one way ticket to Europe. And the first place we chose was Ireland. It is a long story why Ireland, but we went there. And it was April, and it was freezing, and we didn't speak any English. It's a very long story, but then we end up playing in Grafton Street. We did that for the whole summer. It was in 1999, So it's a long time ago.
Gabriella, did you find that your music was well received from the start?
Yes, and at that time we were not playing what we do play now. We were developing our own style. We were developing our own techniques and our ideas. So when we arrived, like almost 20 years ago, we were playing different covers and versions of a lot of metal music, but playing on the acoustic guitar. I didn't play the rhythm that I play now at all, because I used to play like a normal guitarist with a pick. And it was through all those years that we started developing all the style we play today, and we came up with the melodies and all of these things, but it was a long process, musically speaking.
Thank you.
This is John Floridas, and you're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Gabriela Quintero by phone of Rodrigo y Gabriela. Gabriela, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the most recent recording, Metavolution. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, that's okay. Excellent.
Tell us a little bit, if you could, about how this album came about and maybe some of the things that you were looking to do with this recording, maybe similar to some of your other recordings or maybe different than some of your other recordings.
Yes, well, this recording was for us very important. When we finished the campaign of the Nine Dead Alive album, we were a little bit under pressure by our record label and management to record a new album. But at that time, we didn't want to repeat what we did on the previous album, but also we didn't want to betray the style. So we started to really come up with a lot of music. We were writing so much music, and some of that stuff sounded so much like the first album, and some of the old stuff sounded too experimental. So we were just like in a transition of 3 years, and our management and everybody was like, "Oh, when are you gonna come up with a new album?" And then eventually, after all of that process of writing so much music, we sort of found a way, like we found a key, and we unlocked that energy of not coming up with something that it was new to us. And so we found it, and we found that working on melodies first, as if we were singing, and working the piece as it was sung, and we actually wrote the lyrics into each one. And then we did our own version with the two guitars of that song. So all of the songs in Metavolution, they're actually songs with lyrics. And you can see the melodies are the guitar things now, you know. But that was a different way. I think in our brains worked differently. And so we wanted to do things differently, and we found that way. But also, the way we recorded, we wanted to change. We didn't want to record at home like we used to do. So we went to Los Angeles to record with a producer, David Sardin, and he proposed us to play as if we were playing live. So he recorded the first week in Sunset Studio in Los Angeles in a room. Me and Rodrigo, he actually put a little stage with two chairs and a lot of candles that kind of give like a swanky atmosphere. And so we played the full album, the whole structure of the album with the two guitars, which it was for us very important. And then we went to the studio, that it was like a few blocks from there. And then we did pieces and beats, you know, like a lot of different electric guitars and sounds and textures and some bass. But the full structure is the two acoustic guitar, and that's an important element of it. And so from there, we work onwards to another texture from the album. And in that way, it sounded different to us, but now we're too experimental. And also, it just keeping the same style.
Gabriela, I must imagine there are a lot of advantages and maybe some challenges as well to work so closely with just one other person. You know, I think about musicians of all different styles. When you have a duo, you know, there's all different kinds of things that those two people must have to go through, and the chemistry that you establish as musicians. Can you talk a little bit about that journey with Rodrigo Sanchez?
Yes, well, it's been quite a journey because we met when we were 15 years old. And even though I didn't play in Rod's band, because he had a band at that time with his brother, me and Rodrigo, we always played with the acoustic guitar. We were always playing. And we recorded things in a tape, you know. And back then, we argue a lot about absolutely because of the dream or because solo or because like this. And then when I joined the band, it was also a lot of disagreements and all of these things. But then eventually we kind of started to get each other quite well. And in this band particularly, we have found that, I don't know, sometimes life can be very specific. Me and Rodrigo, we had a couple of experiences. One day, I remember we were boxing in the street and it was freezing. This was in Denmark and it was freezing. And we started to argue about music, something. I don't remember. But then this guy came in out of nowhere, which was like a homeless guy. And he screamed at us and said, "Hey, you two, shut up and play." So for us, that's our mantra. You know, so if we find ourselves arguing about a stupid thing, we just go, "Okay, shut up and play." And that's what we do. And that's the best solution we can ever find. Although nowadays we're more old and we both meditate, so we're just more zen approach to everything. And so it's easier also, you know. But that's the mantra, so shut up and play.
Rod Gab, RODGAB.com is the name of the website, and Metavolution is the name of their most recent recording. It's been a real treat getting a chance to talk shop with you, even if it's over the phone, Gabriela. I very much appreciate you making time to be on Musician Spotlight.
Oh, thanks for the support, and thanks to everybody and our fans in Missoula. I send you a big hug to all of you. And thank you, John, again for such a great interview.
Gabriela Quintero of Rodrigo y Gabriela. We'll be back with more Musicians Spotlight and a conversation with saxophonist and composer Lauren Stillman. Welcome back to Musicians Spotlight. In this half hour, we'll be featuring saxophonist and composer Lauren Stillman. Thank you. This is John Floridis, and you're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome to the studio Lauren Stillman. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me, John.
Yeah, great to have a chance to talk shop with you here in the studio for Musicians Spotlight. I'll tell listeners right off the top, laurenstillman.com is the name of Lauren's website. His first name is spelled L-O-R-E-N, correct?
L-O-R-E-N. Correct.
Laurenstillman.com, alto saxophonist and composer. Do you prefer the designation alto saxophonist? Like when somebody says, what do? You say I'm an alto sax player or do you just say I'm a sax player?
Kind of a combination of all the above, I think. Alto saxophonist, improviser, jazz improviser, improvised music, classical musician, composer. I don't know. I don't like to designate any sort of genre type, I guess, since everything is so open and broad these days in terms of musical forms and genres, you know.
Yeah.
Jazz is so adaptive. So it's adaptive and inclusive.
Lauren, we're doing this interview in Missoula, Montana. As we're doing this interview, it's mid-May, actually late May in 2019.
Feels like November.
It does. Yes, it does. Yes, definitely. For
are you crying over there?
I am crying. Yeah, I'm crying for the lost spring.
Yeah.
But such is spring in the Rocky Mountains. And you know, I know you came to Montana from Brooklyn. But is that where you're from originally?
It could be where I'm from. I mean, I spent such a long time there that I feel like, let's say Brooklyn. But I was born in England. Don't remember much about England. Moved to the States when I was very young. Lived just outside of New York City most of my life until I was in my, 18, 19 years old. Then I moved to New York City, where I just kind of did the shuffle between all the different Staten Island. Well, no, not never Staten Island. Sorry, that's I misspoke. Queens, Brooklyn, Manhattan, and really, it kind of ended up landed in Brooklyn for like 20 years, almost 20 years. Yeah.
As pertains to our conversation right this moment, we're interviewing you at an interesting time. We're interviewing you in Missoula, Montana, where you've lived for now, what, a couple of years?
Almost two. Yeah.
Almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And yet, as we're interviewing you, you're about to leave and head off to Germany.
Yeah.
And start your journey or restart your journey there in Germany.
Yeah.
What brought you to Montana to begin with?
My wife put a gun to my head and said, "We're moving to Montana." No, it was a combination of a lot of things. I mean, life was changing. We were raising a family. We needed a change from New York, and we needed a way to sort of break the kind of the life that we had there. And we were both working way too many hours trying to have a house and, support our family. And nobody was really like enjoying the quality of life. My wife had lived out here for 11 years in a previous life before we had met. And she's like, "I want to come back to Missoula at some point." And I said, "Yeah, let's give it a try. Let's give it a shot." And I was pursuing my career still from here, which turns out that there's a lot of connections to be made to get back to Europe and other places in the U.S. from Missoula. So that was a little bit of a challenge, but I came in and taught a bit at the university and finished a master's degree here. And so it was just a good time to sort of be in a different atmosphere, gain different perspective, and have quality time with our family and move away from the hustle and the bustle of New York City, which is, since we've left, has changed quite a bit and is dramatically changing, I think, in terms of what I do there and being a musician and trying to make it and trying to afford to live there.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Lauren Stillman. My introduction to your music was kind of word of mouth with common friends and full disclosure and players in Montana. But the word was kind of getting on the street. There's this guy here who showed up. He's unusually good. Like this guy's and he is the go-to guy in New York. I remember hearing this and it was like within a matter of like the first few minutes of hearing you play, I was like, oh, this guy's really good. Oh, no, he's exceptionally good. This is really outstanding. Huh. So, you know, you're coming here from having really a remarkable reputation as a player and as a writer and a composer there in New York City. Going back a little bit further into your story, though, where did this instrument come to you and when did it come to you?
It came to me at the age of, 6 or 7 years old. and it was like, I think I had, raising kids now, I have a 5-year-old, who is just has this focus, like this laser focus and trying to understand where it comes from. And I'm like, maybe it comes from me, you know, because it like, saxophone and music was just something that I immediately gravitated towards. It was the only thing I wanted to do. It's just how I spent my free time as a kid. It was just a very unique and very strong like calling from a very, very early age, and just to study and to practice and to hear and feel sound and go through the process of studying music. It was just something that I couldn't stop doing, you know.
Lauren Stillman joining us here on Musicians Spotlight. A couple of different ways that I wanted to take this interview. One is to go through some of these quotes from your press kit, and not just to flatter you with your, flattering quotes, but to kind of use them as a stepping off point. I like this one. This is from a Jazz Review in UK. Describing you as a writer and stylist that has found a previously unoccupied slot in the jazz spectrum, and I just wanted you to respond to that. I mean, that's some pretty heady stuff there.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the way to ask the question is, how does a musician who's pursuing this kind of music look to find a spot, a slot rather, that is unoccupied? Or is it something that if you look too hard or try too hard to find that, you're not going to find it? Is it something that just has to happen naturally? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm going to go with the latter, I think, of the two. You know, that it that quote is sort of resemblant of a cumulative process of checking everything out, checking everybody out, being open-minded, staying open, and not coming at the music from a judgmental place, but rather like, how can I understand? How can I fit myself in? You know, I think New York is a very special place musically because you are expected and you're asked as a musician to do so many different things that this palette sort of defines a style, you know. And I think maybe that quote is what that's coming from, that quote is that, you know, it's this sort of cumulative effort of, like I said, you know, playing with Andy Statman and David Grisman. And there's just been hundreds of experiences like that in my life where here I am on stage with an Indian tabla player and Armenian, you know, duduk player or something, and you're expected to play music with these people. So it's not about a genre, it's not about a language, it's about how do you make music, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been the focal point of my musical life is how do I step up and play with the people that I'm expected to play with? That's a very challenging thing, mm-hmm. you know, because it goes beyond understanding jazz. But you do have to understand jazz. But you have to understand the language of improvisation.
Mm.
Yeah, so, I mean, besides the quote, I mean, I guess there was no thought process behind saying, like, I'm going to come up with my own style, you know. I think it just sort of, that's what bled out of me, you know, mm-hmm. was just, this is the music I write. These are the people. This is the sound I want to go for. If you have a sound in your head, you just over time get closer and closer to achieving that sound that you want. I can't say that I'm there yet, you know. And also that sound is constantly changing depending on what you're looking at, what you're studying, what you're, you know, constantly just trying to stay interested and trying to stay involved in what's current and what's relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes sort of defining, and it just sort of creeps in.
Lauren, I'm going to ask you, this is kind of more of a wrap-up question here, so it's going to be a little on the Barbara Walters side, or maybe okay. the Terry Gross side. We talked about that before we started the interview. Can you make an analogy between your overall musical philosophy, how you view music, to a life philosophy or another passion, another journey? I'm going to reference, for instance, I interviewed a gentleman who was a soloist with the Missoula Symphony recently, a cellist, huge basketball fan. So he could definitely make these parallels to the science of the game of basketball. I'm thinking of John Butler, the guitarist and songwriter, very popular Australian-American musician, makes the analogy to gardening. So my challenge to you is to do something along the same lines.
Well, one thing that comes to mind, this is something I always think of. I don't know if this is an analogy or not, but the idea of expectations. When we bring expectations to the table in life, in music, your expectations are never fulfilled. And a lot can go wrong and a lot of different stuff can go right. For me, it's the journey has been about limiting these expectations. Whenever I've brought my own expectations as a composer, as an improviser to the table, I've always been disappointed. When I can pare away my expectations, something else can happen. And I think this goes back to the quote, the UK quote or whatever, about finding an individual voice, allowing that individual voice to come out, you know, not taking ownership for it. It is its own beast. It has a life of its own, you know. So how do we let that voice come out? And I think it's really about expectations, you know, and not having too many of them and not placing too many of them and saying, wow, what a surprise. What an amazing surprise that was, you know, and what can I learn from that surprise? Looking at it later and saying, what was that? What happened? I don't know if I was going to make an analogy to like a sailboat race or something, you know, if that's what we're looking for. As an improviser, I think about plotting a course, you know, or like a game of chess, thinking many, many moves in advance. How do I want to get from this place to this place to this place to this place? And it's not like a very conscious decision, but it is definitely in the back of my mind in terms of how do I set up points that I want to get to. I want to get from point A to point B to point C to point, you know, and I want to do it this way, and I want to do it, I would say sort of strategizing, you know, but also within that strategy, like leaving it open to surprise, you know. I know it may contradict the idea of expectations in a certain way, but it leads to direction, you know. It gives you direction, and that's what I'm always looking for, is sort of direction, good decision-making.
Musical and otherwise.
Musical and otherwise, yeah.
Great. LaurenStillman.com is the name of Lauren's website, LaurenStillman, LaurenStillman.com. That's where you can find out more about Lauren's work, his music, his performances, which will be predominantly in Germany here. Well, probably not. I mean, that's where you're going to be based out of. But
I think it's still going to be a kind of a global thing. Yeah. You know, there's stuff still happening in New York, and Germany just happens to be a place that I've always loved, and I've played a lot of music there. There's a lot of teaching opportunities. A lot of old students of mine are there, and it feels like a really open musical community to me. So,
well, and flights from Berlin to New York are probably cheaper than from Missoula to New York.
Unfortunately, they are.
So that could be quite an advantage. Yeah. What an interesting time to be talking with you here on Musician Spotlight, I think. And I wish that we would have had this conversation a couple years earlier. But in a way, I'm glad that we're having it now.
Yeah.
Because it's an interesting time to be talking with you. So
sure. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me here.
Thank you so much for being here. It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guests today have been Rodrigo y Gabriela and Lauren Stillman. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. These interviews were engineered by Beth Ann Austin. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.